Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And that's kind of what happened on Sunday. Titans, after a two-game winning streak, they lose to the Panthers. We're going to get into that. We have our play breakdowns. The originator of the play breakdowns here in Nashville. We have that coming. We have Nate Davis talking a little shop. Sharif Finch is back. Back in effect. He had a sack. We're going to talk about that as well. And we're just going to bring you all things Titans versus Chiefs. A little before that, Titans versus Panthers. So first things first, the area that we need to start off on is the first half of that football game against the Panthers. And specifically what I need to talk about is Derrick Henry. You guys hear me every week. What do I say? Hey, man, you got to get Henry the ball. You got to get 22 the ball. Get him the ball. Get him the ball. Get him the ball. I'm no rocket scientist. It's very obvious. My question is, why not run the ball more, specifically with Derrick Henry? You had a team that was giving up 135 yards. Folks, we are talking about almost 1.5 football fields worth of yardage being given up on the ground each and every week. It's an average to the Carolina Panthers. First half, a total of 6 carries. First half, the touches for Derrick Henry depleted. 2 carries. You mean to tell me Derrick Henry had 2 carries in the first half against a team that was 27th in the NFL, ranked when it comes to stopping the run, 135.1 yards per game? Are you serious? 6 carries total. One of them was a scramble by Ryan Tannehill. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's, you got to spell it like I-O-N. I don't get it. I mean, seriously. But fortunately for them, things came back together in the start of the third quarter, the start of the second half. And what did they do? 9-play drive. 70-something yards. Derrick Henry, 7 carries for 47 yards. Tannehill had a 25-yard scramble. All rushing the ball. Hot dog, it works. Because what happened? They capped it off with an 8-yard touchdown drive. A touchdown plunge by Derrick Henry. That run was kind of like, I wish Chris Berman would have done that on their show, NFL Primetime, because that run was kind of the ones where he used to do with Mike Allstar, and he's just going, pow, 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 as the running back is bouncing off of tackles. He would have just gave you a pow, pow, because you had two, but still, it was an example of why he needs to run the football. So the question remains, why did Derrick Henry have 40 snaps, Deion Lewis had 35? I asked Mike Vrabel this question in regards to the carries, and he said there were things, because see, this is the thing, right? Coach told me when I asked him about, someone else asked him about it, the limited carries, and we're talking about Monday, the limited carries that Derrick Henry got in the first half. And he told that person, his answer was because there were down and distances that made it harder to run the football. And that was courtesy of penalties. Well, Deion Lewis had 2 carries, one on first and 25, or one on first and 20, I mean, and one on first and 15. So I asked him, Coach, what about Deion Lewis? He had the carries in those situations. And Coach said that there were certain looks that they wanted to go to. Now, I will say, to his credit, those 2 unfavorable running situations, they were able to get 15 yards on first and 20, 7 yards on first and 15. So I get it. The 15-yarder is the one we're going to actually go and break down with Nate Davis. just because he did an excellent job. You saw him get a good punch on McCoy. He came off of that. I mean, imagine being tasked in one play with having to deal with Gerald McCoy and Luke Kuechly as a rookie. But he did it. So I give him credit. Nate Davis on the breakdown. Check it out.
All right, so obviously, you got to wait for the snap count to go. But automatically, I'm already thinking about looking at the A-gap, making sure there's no type of run-through and like that. I just want to get first move in contact on this three-tech right here and try to, you know, drive him as vertical as possible. So as I do that there, I try to, like I said, I'm always keying the A-gap, and I see Kuechly coming. So I, you know, just try to cover him up as best as possible and give Deion, you know, as much space as possible.
Now, the reason why I slowed it down a little bit pre-snap, so initially, where is it? Right here. And for a while, you're looking backwards, like at Tannehill in the backfield. Are you like waiting for a call, or what's the reasoning?
It's just basically our silent count.
Okay.
Obviously, being away, it's a little bit louder, so we can't really hear each other. So
okay.
I just waiting for him to give me the go call, basically.
When you have a guy like Kuechly, pre-snap, I mean, he's someone that's calling out plays. He's saying where it's going. Is that something you encountered in this game against
him? Oh, yeah, he's a very smart player. Just basically just try to block our scheme as best as possible.
So that was the breakdown from Nate Davis. Pretty cool how he shared just what he was looking to do. I thought he did a good job, as I said, of coming off his block. And then opening that hole up so that Deion Lewis could get there. So that's that with the running game. And I tell you, before we move on from Derrick Henry, just to get back to him real quick, Mike Vrabel today said that Derrick Henry is a leader because of the way he trains, how hard he goes in practice, his toughness. He said that Henry is a guy that would inspire him to play. I think that those are lofty words. Those are complimentary words. My thing is, let him inspire the guys just a little bit more by giving them more carries. But what else does running the football do? It establishes play action. I mean, we've talked about it. They have clearly established that A.J. Brown is a monster on those crossing routes. It's very clear. One way to open up some space and give them more room, you pull those linebackers up, so that way they're not able to drop into that passing lane, is by what? Play action. So just all the more reason why you need to get that running game going. And then, oh, by the way, one of the other touchdowns was a 23-yard screen pass to who? Double Deuce, Derrick Henry. You got to get that guy involved. You have to keep him involved. But like I said, you know, that's something to focus on. Last week, and then going into this week, you have a team in the Chiefs who are, I think they're 29th giving up, 139 rushing yards per game. So guess what you need to do again this week? Run the football. What did I say you need to do? Run the football. That's the assignment this week. Run the ball and work off of that. The thing that really confuses me about this Chiefs defense is they're giving up that many yards, but they have a pretty good stable of guys playing inside. Talking with TD has had Colin Saunders on the show. I tell you, interesting thing with him too. I watched a couple games, and one of the things that they do with him when they're inside the 5-yard line, when offenses are inside the 5-yard line, like when they're in position to score five yards and goal, he drops back into coverage. I mean, the guy I call Flipper, you know, a 300-plus pounder doing backflips, I think it's pretty cool and trustworthy, you know, for Steve Spagnuolo to drop him into coverage. But nevertheless, he's still stout at the point of attack. He and Chris Jones, man, Chris Jones is a grown man. It's funny because he's teammates now with Steven Wisniewski. The whole reason why Wisniewski started for the Eagles later in the season was because of the way Chris Jones dominated Isaac Seumalo. When I say dominated, I mean like badly. So the Eagles eventually went to Wisniewski. Now here they are, teammates. But, you know, along that line, you have Tano Passanio, who is a guy, he's a long rusher. I saw them I have him play inside. He plays outside. They stand him up. They do a variety of things with him. Those guys up front are really good, you know. And then I can't not mention Frank Clark, who's a serious blend of speed off the edge, but he has a strength as well, speed to power. He's able to convert. And he has a spin move back inside. Really surprises me that they're giving up that many yards. But this is the case. I, again, feel that it's really going to be an opportunity for the Titans to run the football this week. But then even when you look at just, you know, some of the things that they do, 55, I noticed, and that's Frank Clark, he tends to crash down. So you could do something. Actually, frankly, this would be a good week to get that read option in. You know what I mean? And fake that dive to Henry and then have Tannehill pull it. Because like I said, Clark will really crash down. I saw teams do this to another 55 in Philly, Brandon Graham, and it would work. You know what I mean? Or they'll fake the dive and they'll do a toss, you know what I mean, right to that side. And it was good yardage for them. So that's something to look at. But even when you look at the corners, right, Breshad Breeland and watching him, former Redskin, got to see him plenty of times. He's someone that really likes to press. And that will give some opportunities in play action. That will give some opportunities for guys like A.J. Brown to work their releases. Corey Davis, who did not practice today because of the hip injury. Just a little background on that. When he drew that pass interference on James Bradberry, it seemed like he tweaked something. And because he stayed down on one knee, he kind of shook it off. But you could tell that something wasn't right, like fully right. I asked him about it on Monday. He said it was just, you know, things that happen in the game. And I was like, yeah, like you're talking about like the normal bumps or bruises you go through. And he was like, yeah, exactly. But here we are today. He didn't practice. He was on the bike, he and Jayon Brown. We'll see what happens there. That's something to be concerned about. But even if he's not playing, guess what you need to do? Run the ball. That's really the bottom line. So just a few things to look at there. I'm going to wrap it up on Tyrann Mathieu. And in some of the games that I watched, I thought it was pretty cool how they found ways to just take advantage of his playmaking ability. Against the run, you know, or even just blitzing, like coming up in the box and making plays. That's one of the things that they did where they had four linemen. They used one, two, three, five linemen, as a matter of fact. Four linemen, one linebacker, and a safety. And they dropped their safety, Sorensen. He actually lined up just inside the center, like in between the center and the left guard. Then they had Frank Clark in between the left tackle and the left guard. Tyler Passenger was over top of the tight end. 56, a linebacker, was over top of the guard. And then you had 90 over top of the right tackle. And what they did was have Sorensen crash that gap to draw the attention of the center and the guard. And then Mathieu would just inch up. And at the snap, he's looping inside. And I actually saw him in one of the games against the Texans, as a matter of fact. He literally, like, he ran the center over. Tyrann Mathieu, in case you guys don't know, is not the biggest man. But he ran over a 300-pounder. So that's something they like to do. And then even they let him play in the middle of the field as well. They give a cover two look, and they give that look with three safeties they pull. So it's their sub package. They pull one of the linebackers out, and they have one of their defensive backs come in. And Mathieu, he will be on either post. Whichever post he's on, they'll rotate to that post, and he drops down in the middle of the field. Because after all, cover two, what are you thinking? Oh, we have to protect, or we have to attack the middle of the field. Well, to counter that, they, or actually entice you to do that, they have that cover two look, but at the snap, he drops down. You had a safety that is in the, you know, up there on the opposite hash, rotate to the hash that Mathieu vacated, and then you have the DB drop back to the hash that safety rotated. Typically is Juan Thornhill, the rookie, up high and too high with Mathieu. So it's a pretty good thing. If you guys get a chance, check that out. We'll see if they do that to the Titans. Tannehill, I mean, listen, he will from time to time turn the football over. So let's see what happens there. I think the Titans offense should be in good shape against this defense, frankly. But again, it remains to be seen. One of the things that you have to really take note of is the turnover, right? The Titans are six, they're plus five. Red zone efficiency, their offense has now moved up to second place. So they've gone from 19th place to second place under Ryan Tannehill, 69.6%. They're scoring touchdowns. However, and this is an interesting one, the Chiefs defense is number one in red zone takeaways. They have four takeaways. So it's a little strength versus strength. So let's pay attention to that, see how that whole situation plays out. We're going to go ahead to a break, but before we do, this game is a home game. You know what to do. TennesseeTickets.com. Get your tickets to the game as well as to a tailgate. I'll be over there to talk a little shop with you. You don't have to pay any, you hear me? You don't have to pay any fees or anything like that. The only fees you pay are the fees that the tickets cost. That's it. Along those lines, make sure you support local business, support local media, right? Rate, subscribe, review, everything. Five stars, please, and thank you. Talking with TD, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're going to pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jared Stillman. No one owns coverage of the It Cities pro sports teams like Jared and the GM. Get the latest on both the Titans and the defending Western Conference champion Predators every day, 2 to 6 on Jared and the GM on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
Back from the break. Breathe. That's what the Titans defense has to do, but they can't because they have an offense that's struggling. They finally, it was kind of like the dam broke, right? 23 points against the Bucks, then 30 against the Panthers. Back-to-back season highs. Tough outlook for the defense because they're coming right back, and now they have a guy named Patrick Mahomes who is likely coming back. He was a full participant on Wednesday. Andy Reid said they're going to continue to work him and see how the knee feels. He was second in the individual drills, so as of right now, it's not fully committed to, but still, tough task for the defense. However, we need to talk about something that happened, right? Malcolm Butler, broken wrist. He's down for the count. He will not be back this year. Tough loss. Tough loss. He didn't pop out as far as like getting eight interceptions a year, but he did his job. He was a very stable corner for the Titans, so you're taking that out. Actually got to ask Mike Vrabel a little bit about Malcolm Butler, and when he was asked today, this is what he said.
You know, the thing I always appreciated about Malcolm was his competitiveness. You know, I know it wasn't perfect, but certainly always appreciated his competitiveness and how he attacked and how he finished plays. Wished that he hadn't got hurt, but we understand that that's the unfortunate part of this business.
So that was Vrabel on Butler. One of the things that you have to take note of now, with that veteran out, you have LaShawn Sims, who is coming in his place. And for a team that likes to use so many three cornerback looks, it should be concerning. Sims, I mean, in talking to some of the Titans DBs, I talked to Kevin Byard on Wednesday, and he said that Sims was the best corner in training camp. Ironically, I actually put that he was one of the surprises in my training camp report for our 32 for 32. Hey, listen, man. Next man up, that's the mentality. And Byer said that their mentality in that, their mindset in that DB room is if someone goes down, the next person has to step up and there can't be a drop-off. So they're expecting big things from LaShawn Sims. Adoy Jackson obviously will be on the field more. Logan Ryan, who I put as my midseason MVP. I mean, I think the dude has done more than enough to secure a deal to come back here. And if he doesn't come back here, some team is getting an outstanding player. Let's focus on this year, though. And as I said, he's the midseason MVP. Adoree, so close on a couple of passes, so close. And I talked to him after the game. He said that that injury that he had, the foot injury that kept him out of week eight, was actually the same foot that they had the procedure on. But he said he's good to go. I posted a collage of him working pre-game on Sunday, so you could check that out. But really, when you have your back end and your front end, they're so related. So for me, I think it's time to look at the pass rush, right? Harold Landry had another sack. Cam Wake had pressure, and he should have gotten credit for a half sack. They gave the full sack to Harold Landry, but you're starting to see those guys come into effect. Landry with six sacks. And Landry's an interesting study because he doesn't win. I think he's only winning like 16% of his pass rushes. But when he wins, he wins. You know, and that's the thing. You have to understand that pass rushers, those are the type of guys, they're going to flash consistently. And that's what he does. Cam Wake, you just see him just impacting the passer. He continues to be a solid veteran for the team. But there was somebody new, right? An oldie but newie in Sharif Finch. He came back after being out for, I think it was 3 weeks. Finch was out. And when I say out, I mean not active. He was dealing with the shoulder injury, I believe it was. But he was back. So this week, our defensive player breakdown is going to be with Sharif Finch. Check it out.
You were back in business against the Panthers. You had the sack. Yeah. Good to see. I start, I do want to point out that it was pretty cool to see you use the technique that you guys work on over and over again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I transferred right to the game, and that was looked like that was part of the way you got the sack. So
yeah.
Take me through it.
So yeah, it's a second and seven here. We knew it was on the UAC motion. They were 87% pass. I've been watching this guy on film. He likes to hold his hands tight and throw both his hands. We've been working a free swipe and practice a lot, as y'all seen in the video, like on Twitter and things like that. So I got off the ball. He threw both hands, timed him up, and just ran that hoop, man. Tried to get the ball out, but he did a good job holding on to it. But I got the sack, so.
Is it kind of ironic, the 56 sacking the seven? Lawrence Taylor, dies.
I mean, that's what I thought of when
I saw it.
Yeah, that's crazy though. But yeah, that's what the work that went into getting this sack.
Now earlier this year, Reggie Gilbert, he had a sack.
Yeah.
They put a tight end on him.
Yeah.
And I asked him, you know, if that's something he takes personal.
Yeah.
You know, if they have a tight end out there to stop you, is that something that you take personal?
Man, they do that a lot. They've been doing that all year, and they believe in their tight ends, and they feel like he's a good pass blocker and a good running blocker. So they put him on the island a lot. And I actually seen him win a lot of times, but obviously you're not supposed to be getting blocked by no tight end. So I mean, when I seen that, and I had an opportunity early and I missed my swipe. So this time I seen it and I took it, made a play.
And last thing, just as far as the whole process for you, just being back, being fully back, no issue, no soreness, you feel like you're 100% ready.
Well, yeah, without a doubt.
At this point, you can't be 100, but close.
I mean, they say this deep into the season, and no one's really 100%. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm back. I'm feeling great, man. I'm ready to go. So. Full steam ahead, man.
So that was Sharif Finch. I had to get into 56 on 7 because, I mean, this is a guy who wears 56 because of Lawrence Taylor. And obviously, Lawrence Taylor's most famous play was sacking Joe Theismann. And it was a gruesome injury. But fortunately for this 56 on 7 crime situation, it wasn't gruesome. It was just a takedown. So excellent job by Sharif Finch. Now it's time to take a look a little bit at this offense. Ooh, I tell you, man, Tyreek Hill, a.k.a. the Roadrunner, putting the deuces up. He's done that a lot. The thing that's so interesting about Tyreek Hill to me is we're talking about a guy who's maybe 5'8", right? He's vertically, he's a burner. 22 miles an hour. Man, if that dude ran through a school zone, he'll get a ticket. Think about that. 22.8 miles per hour. He was cruising. He didn't even have the ball. He was just trying to run his homie down to show him that he's faster. That's straight line speed. However, what's rare about Tyreek Hill is this is a guy who could run sideways very fast too. His lateral quickness is there. Oh, but there's more. How many times have you seen that little rascal go up and high point the football? 50-50 it's probably like 70-30 with him, man. He's going to go up and attack the football. So, you really, when you're going against somebody like that, you just there's not really much you could do. As a safety, man, like, you have to be so careful. Because one slip up, you're getting whiplash because your neck is watching the ball sail over your head. You have to be careful with that. The guy who's going to be in charge of not getting whiplash this week is Kevin Byard. Got to talk to him a little bit about Tyreek Hill. Check out what Kev Byard had to say.
That saying, deepest of the deep, that always applies to your position.
Right.
Tyreek Hill, how does he influence what you have to do this week?
I mean, the guy's one of the most explosive players in the league. I mean, this guy, and one thing about it is, I mean, guy may be 5'8", 5'9", or whatever, but this guy can win 50-50 balls down the middle of the field. So, like I said, that's going to be one of our big things this week, making sure we're staying deeper than the deepest. Just not allowing big plays. I think that's one thing that teams that played great against them, they didn't have a lot of explosive plays. So if we can limit the explosive plays and kind of contain those guys and affect the quarterback, regardless if Mahomes or Matt Moore plays, I think that's going to be a big key for us this week trying to win a ball game.
So when you're looking at that speed with Tyreek Hill, another thing they do, right, and this is an Andy Reid fixture. He's been doing this for quite some time, even dating back to his Philly days. But what he likes to do with Tyreek Hill especially, you send him in that jet motion to one side, and then they run a counter or a toss to the opposite side because Tyreek Hill attracts so much attention. You got Damian Williams. You got LeSean McCoy. These are guys that could, you know, they get in the space. They're going to make some things happen. So that's something to watch out for. I just think, you know, this offense as a whole is something else, man. And they find ways to use play action to find ways, because that's the other thing with Tyreek Hill. He'll run double moves. You'll see him run long developing routes. He's actually, to be so fast, he's a pretty crisp route runner too. That guy's a problem, just really, period. You know, instead of Hill, he should have problem on the back of his jersey because that's what he causes. But then on top of that, you have a guy like a Sammy Watkins, right, who is big, he's fast, he's physical. He's someone else that Andy Reid has to devise plays for. And then you have Mecole Hardman, who, listen, man, that dude is fast in his own right. They like to run that deep over route with him. But I tell you, a guy that I really like, didn't really get a lot of pub, you know, once he got to the league, DeMarcus Robinson. Now, I'm going to drop a bomb on you, but understand we're talking about skill set. And I'm not talking about greatness. But I remember him coming out. I felt like he had a skill set that reminded me of Odell Beckham Jr. Now, you haven't seen that fully come to surface here in the league. But and this, he's a guy, he has some issues. That's why he fell. And that's why the Chiefs, you know, were able to get him. But he went to the right place. A coach that is going to get him the football and find ways to put him in favorable situations. And that's what Andy Reid has done. I mean, when Tyreek Hill went down and Sammy Watkins was kind of beat up, this is the dude that was stepping up. So they have a triple play of receivers, you know, a quadruple. Actually, this is a grand slam. All four of them are good. Now, on top of that, they got some guy that wears number 87 named Travis Kelce. And I tell you what's really interesting. They do a lot of things to set him up the way a team would set up a number one receiver. Yeah, I said a team would set up a number one. I know it's something that kind of is a foreign concept, but believe it or not, teams do stuff to set up their number one passing option. The Chiefs are an example. So here's the deal, right? You'll see a lot of times where they'll isolate Travis Kelce. There are times where Travis Kelce will line up on the ball out wide, and you have trips to the other side. It's just nothing but air and opportunity between he and the safety, or if you have the audacity to put a linebacker out there. They'll run. Now, when he's lined up outside the numbers, they'll do a lot of slants. But when they run the slant, they have a running back doing a swing route to replace where he left. Excellent play design. Andy Reid is a really good play designer. But then there are other times where you'll see them in trips, right? And they'll have Kelce just flexed maybe a yard or two away from the tackle, right? And they'll let him run that wide stick. And he works that so well. And when he's able to turn, and when I say wide stick, if you think of Jason Witten and the routes that he runs, you know, and the way he uses his body to shield a defender, this is what they do with Kelce. And it's a really good option for them. It's a high percentage play. So that's something else they do. Like I said, he's just a guy, man. You're going to see tight end screens. You see, I've even seen them, not this year, but in previous years, I've seen them do an end around with a tight end. Andy Reid has the gall to do everything he can to get the ball to a guy like Travis Kelce. Take note, folks. This is an offense that has 13 plays of 40 yards or more. Number one in the league. The Titans are 18th in the league, giving up 5 plays of 40 yards or more. Interesting matchup. We have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, the bottom line, because I believe he's coming back. The bottom line, you got plaster. You're going to hear that word, plaster. Anytime Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, these type of quarterbacks, you're going to hear the word plaster because these quarterbacks have a way of extending plays. They do something that we thought Mariota was going to be able to do. They extend plays. You got to play through the whistle. You know, Mike Vrabel talked about that. He said there are times where you'll see a DB and a receiver just kind of stop, and then the receiver will take off again. The receiver knows the play is live. They know that they're quarterback. They've rehearsed it. These broken plays, I've said it before, it's a fire drill, right? And it's organized confusion. Everyone has their responsibilities of where they need to go. So that receiver may stop and then start running all of a sudden, but he knows where he's running to. As a DB, you don't. Everybody just got to keep moving. Got to keep moving. So plaster is a key thing. When you look at just some of the guys that they have running the ball, we mentioned McCoy, we mentioned Williams. Those are two guys that are really good. Eric Fisher did not practice on Wednesday. The left tackle. Interesting situation there. We'll see how that works out. But I just think, man, this is a team they're going to do everything they can to get the ball to Kelce and number 10. It starts with them, Tyreek Hill and Kelce. After that, everything works off of it. This is a case of what the Titans need to do as play callers. Establish something, make it work, and then play off of it. Good lesson for them to learn this week. Obviously, you don't want to learn that in a loss. But again, when it comes to this team, man, 300 yards passing. By the way, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played for 2 weeks. But they're still second in the league, 300 yards passing per game. Second in points scored, 238. The Titans, by the way, their defense is third, giving up 18.7 points a game. Red zone touchdowns, 50.7%. That's fifth red zone touchdowns allowed by the Titans defense. Here's the thing that is really interesting, because what do we always say about the Titans defense, right, with Dean Pease? They bend but don't break, right? They'll give you yards, but once you get inside the 20, they knuckle down. Well, this offense is first in the NFL and scoring from outside of the red zone, 108 points. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to go ahead to a break. We're going to come back with Calvin's Corner. I'll be right back.
Stay up to date on the latest news in sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN, the Game Nashville, on Google Play or iTunes. And download the Game Nashville app now.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. I could already see it. Calvin has a tendency. He likes to put that riding music on. That's what we got right there. So we're riding through the neighborhood. We got the window halfway down, the music playing, hat on backwards.
It's the summertime.
It's the summertime, and it's time to pull up Calvin's Corner. We pull up to Calvin's Corner, put that thing in reverse, park him along the curb. I pop out. What's on Calvin's Corner this week?
We're going to talk about running the football this week. I feel like it is the obvious choice.
There's a God somewhere.
And I want to focus on the Chiefs, though, and their run defense.
Okay.
Because they are second in the NFL in yards given up total this season. Now, that's not the best way to measure, you know, how good your rushing defense is, but I find that really interesting because the Chiefs have a pretty prolific offense, like you just talked about in the last segment, Teron.
Right.
So that would mean they're scoring a lot of points, and they win a lot of games. Usually the other opposing team is playing from behind, which would probably lead them to throw the ball. Yet, opposing teams have gained the second most yards on the ground against the Chiefs this season in the NFL.
139.
It's incredibly counterintuitive.
Yeah.
And then in terms of yards per attempt, even though last week I talked about how I don't like that stat very much, it still gives part of the picture when compared to the cumulative rush totals. They're fifth in the NFL. They're fifth worst in the NFL, I should say. So yeah, this is a defense that's pretty susceptible to the run. But last week, they played the Minnesota Vikings and Dalvin Cook. A very good running back. Electrifying home run hitter. Also a fantastic receiving threat. I mean, Dalvin Cook was a first-round pick. He was right towards the tail end, or maybe early second.
Yep.
He was highly drafted for a reason. He's ran the ball well, really well this year, too. And the Chiefs did a really good job of containing him overall. They were third in the NFL last week in terms of EPA per rush. Now, all of my stats here are coming from a Twitter account called Arrowhead Analytics, at Chiefs Analytics on Twitter. And he writes for arrowheadpride.com, which is the SB Nation affiliate.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
They do fantastic work over there. So that's where all the stats I'm pulling from are coming from right now. But last week, the Chiefs showed a remarkable progression in how they play the run against a really good running back, no less. What's interesting is all of Dalvin Cook's rushing yards last week came after contact. Hmm. Meaning the point they made in the article I'm reading on arrowheadpride.com is that the Chiefs hit him so often in the backfield that he had to always make a move to get open and find some open grass to gain yardage. That's incredibly interesting to me, and I find it interesting for the Titans because Derrick Henry gets hit behind the line of scrimmage a lot. I mean, he has some of the most negative rushes in the NFL, and he kind of plays a boom or bust game for a running back. That's interesting because how often are the Chiefs going to be able to get after him? And that led the folks at arrowheadpride.com to go look at, well, where did the Vikings have the most or least success? Right end, which is interestingly where Derrick Henry has been his best.
Yeah.
And that's where Dalvin Cook was at his best, despite having a bad day, really basically running through every other gap on the offensive line. Then you look at the season as a whole for the Kansas City Chiefs. Off right end, that's where they've been the worst all year. The place where they've been the second worst is up the middle. And I think that fits well, very well, to what Derrick Henry wants to do because he's been very good himself off right end. Mm-hmm. And then going up the middle, that gives Derrick Henry more space on either side to make a cut. I think when you're talking about the advantage that's there this week in the running game, despite my thoughts about the running game in general, there's opportunity there for Derrick Henry because on the whole, the Chiefs have been pretty bad against the run. Despite having a good week against the Vikings, and they got after Dalvin Cook consistently, and with the problems on the Titans' offensive line with some of that, especially after last week with Jahmyr Douglas at center, you know, I expect them to be in Derrick Henry's face pretty often, and that's probably going to result in a fair amount of negative gains for Derrick Henry, and that's kind of been the game Derrick Henry's playing, but it's kind of what you accept with him and his home run hitting ability.
Right. It balances. Yeah.
And
good point.
In terms of yards per attempt, it typically does in a lot of points. So he's not putting up like 2 yards per attempt like he did at other points in his career. But off right end is specifically where you want to be looking to see how the Chiefs are going to be able to stop when the Titans are running behind Jack Conklin. And if Derrick Henry makes that cut on a play designed to go to the middle and he cuts right, and there might be a lot open on that side of the field. And I found that really interesting for this week against the running game because obviously Derrick Henry didn't get the ball a lot against the Panthers. Everybody's talking
times,
about it.
13. I wrote about it.
Everybody's writing about it, talking about it.
I don't know, man. I think what you presented was yet another reason why it's important to get this man the football. And I like that you took that deep dive because a lot of people don't realize that he is better running the ball to the right side.
Get him in space. And those ends. Like, I feel like when I want Derrick Henry to get the ball, I want it in space.
Yeah.
Like, last week I said I like the screens to Derrick Henry because that's just where his big body has more space and he can get going with more ease. He doesn't have someone in his face. Now, that might be a problem with what the Chiefs did last week, but that's my whole mantra with Henry is I'm fine with it if it's in space.
Yeah.
And don't limit him with, you know, he has not had good success running up the middle this season.
Yeah. I mean, he had, off the top, I think of one good run.
Yeah.
The one that we broke down last week.
Yeah, the 34-yarder.
The 34-yarder.
When he almost went 99 again.
Almost. Almost. And the thing is, this is something that we focused on, too. The fact that you get him in the alley. You know, and that's what you mean in space, right? You get him in that alley. You find ways. The plays are there to get him in the alley. But it's just when you have the ball on the right hash, right, or on the boundary side, and there's nothing but green grass to the field side.
Especially if you can get some trips to the other side, more open grass, you shift the coverage a little bit over there.
Yeah, exactly. Or even you use motion. There's different things you could do to set it up, and they've done it before. I'm just saying we need to see it again.
And I also would like to make a point about the screen game. And that's, again, something that consistently seems to make intuitive sense for the Titans to do because of Derrick Henry's reputation. And I think there's a reason these screens to Derrick Henry have had a couple big gains. Obviously, the one against the Browns and then last week, the 23-yard touchdown is because, you know, falling into this mode of predictability, if you want to call it predictability with the Titans offense, they can leverage that against teams they're playing. Now, that they've created kind of like a scouting report on how their offense is working, and now is the time to break that report. I heard a rumor once about Joey Votto in Major League Baseball that for the first like 3 or 4 weeks of the season, he'd swing at some balls on purpose because he wanted to control the scouting report teams were writing on him at the beginning of the year. And then, because Joey Votto, renowned for his plate discipline, then after they would get the scouting report on him, they'd throw him those pitches and he'd lay off and then they'd come back with a pitch he wants to hit. Well, I don't think that's what Arthur Smith was doing with this offense. I don't think that was the intention. But the principle of being able to break your scouting report right now for success in the latter part of the season where teams won't have as much time to adjust to what you're doing makes a little bit of sense. And I think Derrick Henry in the screen game, and of course, I'm going to preach it, feed Corey Davis and A.J. Brown.
Yeah, it is feeding them. And that's the one I will give Tannehill credit. I will give the receivers credit.
Yeah.
They took some shots down the field. Yeah. Unfortunately, one of those shots they took may have been the situation that could hamper Corey Davis's performance. But we'll see what happens, man. I think, you know, A.J. Brown continues to prove himself. I think Tajae Sharpe has done an excellent job of being a boundary guy. And right from the jump, he drew the pass interference. Yeah. Tannehill said that that's something that they have to do. Ironically, it wasn't necessarily in the game plan. That's what A.J. Brown told me. That's what Tannehill told me. It wasn't in the game plan to take those shots against the Panthers.
Yep.
They saw some things adjusted and did it. I give them credit for that. I don't know how it's not in the game plan if they do it so early in the game, but that's a whole different conversation. But regardless, I think it was good of them to do that. So it all works together. You stretch the field, that's going to open up the run. You run the ball effectively, that's going to open up opportunities to stretch the field. It's like a dog chasing his own tail, right? And they just have to be able to do something successful to initiate that chase.
One big thanks to @ChiefsAnalytics on Twitter. This was all his research. And I just was scrolling through Twitter, read his article, and I thought, this is perfect for where the Titans are and the situation with their running game. And that's what you should be looking for, is how effectively the Titans will run to the right, because that's where the Chiefs have been the weakest as a defense.
That's Calvin's Corner, another deep dive. We appreciate Calvin for bringing that realness, the analytical approach. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back to wrap this up.
Artificial intelligence, AI, is taking over the world.
How can I help you today?
So put it to work for you.
Your appointment is at 9 a.m.
Ask Alexa to
enable 1025 The Game.
Okay.
Once enabled,
Alexa, play 1025 The Game.
The future is here.
Let me help you with that.
Ask Alexa to enable 1025 The Game.
Okay, now I'm in the spot where I want to be. Money spent, getting bent, chicks in front of me. Just the way I like
it. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. It's funny, man. Every week I go through different music and look for songs. I was running through some different songs. I played this one. I swear to God, my whole house started boogieing, man. And all of us started boogieing. But that's what music does, man. That's why I like to bring this type of music to you so you guys could boogie, do your little two-step, whatever it is that you want to do. But it's time to wrap this up. Little house cleaning that I want to look at. I tell you, so many people are calling for Arthur Smith to be fired. And you know what? I don't believe he should be fired. I think the position is one that you grow into. I don't think you're going to have instant success. This offense has been inept at times. There are things that are unexplainable, but there's good to it also. So for me, I think what they need to do is get somebody in here to just be a veteran bouncing pad for him to throw things off of and just to give him a little bit of advice. Two ideas that came to me. Well, one that came to Chase and I on Monday we were talking, and actually Darren McFarland brought it up. Jay Gruden. Now, I'm not saying go out there and hire him now, but I think in addition, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to hire him now, but I think in addition like that, even if it's in the offseason, would be positive. And just to check his history, folks, he would be making a return to Nashville. Guess where he debuted as a coach? Right here in Nashville for the Nashville Cats. He has the arena ties, you know, and I think, you know, that's a good thing. A guy that played in the Arena League with Tampa Bay Storm, but having that tie, and you understand, and I talked to Pat O'Hara about that, the current QB coach, just about as a quarterback in the Arena League and that box that you're in, that 50-yard field, everything is quicker. So you have to process even quicker. So I think he would, having played the position before, he would be someone that would help. And just kind of, we know they're going to be developing a quarterback, right? Say what you want about the RG3 situation. Kirk Cousins was a guy who's a third-round pick. I don't personally think he's a good quarterback, but he developed into someone that a team, daggum it, Vikings, would pay $84 million guaranteed to be the quarterback. So what I'm saying is he has the ability to get some juice out of the fruit. So bringing him in would actually be a good thing. I think it would help the team. The other idea that I had was Jim Caldwell. And obviously that's not something for now. That would be something if somehow he were to be released from his duties with the Dolphins, because he is a consultant now. Initially he was an offensive assistant. Health issues kept him from being able to stay with the team after July in that role. But ironically, I bring Jim Caldwell up because guess what the Ravens did the year they won the Super Bowl? Jim Caldwell was fired, and 13 days later, the Ravens hired him to be quarterbacks. He became the quarterbacks coach on January 30th. He was hired... he took over the offense in December of 2012. So, ironically, this is the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl. But they made that change, and it was similar to Joe Flacco a couple weeks ago saying, why can't we be more aggressive? Why can't we be better on offense? John Harbaugh took heed to that, hired Caldwell to come in. Because after all, Caldwell had done some things offensively with the Colts. Obviously, it's a bit easier to do that with Peyton Manning. But even, you know, they went to a Super Bowl. I mean, he did some things with them. So he came in to Baltimore. The offense got a little bit better. They scored 28 points, I think, and then 33 points. They went on, again, to beat the Patriots in New England. And then they beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. It ended up working. So I say all that to say, if they were to bring John Gruden in, I mean, again, I've seen a team bring a guy in late in the season and find success doing it. But it really is going to come down to how all of these personalities can mesh, how they could come together with one common goal. So that's just something I wanted to go over. Mike Vrabel says that he's involved in the game plan. I asked him, and I think with him having such a defensive background, it would behoove them not to have an experienced consultant or assistant in the building. I think Todd Downing has done it before. I think he's a guy that can be an influence. But for me, you know, having seen some of the things that I saw with the Eagles in that Super Bowl year, as far as DeFilippo, as far as Frank Reich, as far as Press Taylor, who is Zach Taylor's brother, as a matter of fact, he was there just an offensive assistant. He's actually the one that brought the Philly special from Chicago to Philly. He saw that, and he, that Philly special, the play that they won, well, they went ahead on the Super fourth quarter conversion in the Super Bowl, was courtesy of Press Taylor. I say all that to say, this is a team that had the synergy. They put plays together. The play that Zach Ertz caught, the go-ahead touchdown on the slant, that was a combination of plays that three different coaches saw, and they meshed it all together and won. You had the route, you had the motion to get the isolation, was something from one play. You had the route combo opposite Zach Ertz was designed to draw the safety, was pulled from another play. There were different things that they pulled and they put together. That's what I call scheming. That's what I call game planning. I'm not saying everything has to be done that way, but what I am saying is use your guys in the building. I think Pat O'Hara, I think Todd Downing, I think Arthur Smith, these guys all need to come together, and I'm sure they have offensive assistants. I think Luke Steckel is an offensive assistant. They need to put guys in charge of finding plays and bringing that to them. This is a copycat lead. You can't be ashamed to recreate what you saw, what you've seen successfully happen elsewhere. That's my spiel, man, when it comes to the offense. Now you know what time it is. I need that music, pretty please. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. All right, all right, all right. You know what time it is. Blow the whistle. Man, I tell you, after saying all that about the offense, right, I'm blowing the whistle on the offense, man. My man, Arthur Smith, you're my guy, man. I appreciate your effort. I appreciate a lot of your play designs, but you know what? I'm going to just put it on the whole coaching staff, because I think Vrabel needs some of this too, because I'm not going to blame it just on Arthur Smith. But two carries in the first half, man, I got to blow the whistle on that one. Derrick Henry needs much more than two carries. So this week, the whistle was blown on the offensive coordinator, on the head coach, on, man, you know what? That's all of Nashville, period. I mean, Dacko, how do you give Derrick Henry two carries in the first half? I don't get it. So I'm blowing the whistle on anything. If you have a Titans poster in your room, I'm blowing the whistle on you. Nah, but seriously, I'm putting that one on the coaches, man. Can't happen. It can't happen. So that's the show. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, Tennessee Tickets, man. Make sure you go to TennesseeTickets.com. Buy your tickets to Titans versus Chiefs. You get an awesome spread at the tailgate. I'll come over, talk some shop with you. TennesseeTickets.com. No extra fees. Talking with TD on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. It's just like the Grammys. They're playing the music on me, so I gotta go. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.